so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We are to thank Him. Just love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Oh, ain't God good? He's given us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him.
We ought to thank Him.
Oh, love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Oh, ain't God good? He's given us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We are to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Oh, ain't God good? Yes, He's good. He's given us so many blessings undeserving.
That's what we are.
We ought to thank Him.
We ought to thank Him.
Yes, love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Oh, hey God.
Yes, He's good.
He's given us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We are to just love and praise
a little more today
and a whole lot more. One more time, amen. Oh, ain't God good?
Yes, He's good.
He's given us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We are to thank Him. Just love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Oh, ain't God? Oh, yes, He's good. Given us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We are to just love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Amen. Amen. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Appreciated the message Wednesday night that brother was talking about. He added to our builder series, pro grade material right there. But when he started talking about being a pillar, I loved even what he just said. He said the pillar just stands. It just stands. And you start talking about the different ways about it, but you think about it, it's because of the weight on it. It's holding it right there. Oh, my. Page 17, a song holy angels cannot sing. Angels can't sing about just standing. Angels can't sing about even going through anything. I can sing about amazing grace, God's redemption story, how I stood through the ages. Amen. A song holy angels cannot sing. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Yes, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Yes, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Yes, it's a song holy angels cannot sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's a song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Brother Lockett, come on up, brother. Good to see you, sir. You can be seated, guys.
Good to be here.
Amen.
Everybody happy, I hope?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. He's good.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's good to obey.
Yeah. Amen.
She took my blessing. I was supposed to do that. But she did.
Amen.
I said, well, thank the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I had to apologize. Because I was supposed to go. So we was on the same network anyway.
Amen. That's good.
So we just thankful this morning for God.
Amen.
God is so good to us. Yes, he is. He just bless.
He does.
And just reveal his word the more. You know, if you take it home with you, that's when it really looked like he worked on it the most to me. Yeah, it looked like he really shined it up. Yeah, so I'm thankful. God bless everybody.
Amen. God bless
Let's
Brother Lockett.
Have a good time.
Appreciate you. Come on, Sister Clarice.
Do y'all ever just wake up sometime in the night and just think about what's happening?
Yeah.
The seals have been broken.
Yeah.
And there's such a spirit of we know who we are.
Yes. Right.
And we know why we're here. Good to see you, Mom. God is working miracles.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling us his word. You know, God does not talk to everybody.
Right.
I said, Lord, I'm so thankful that you came to me. Now, that being done, I came for no other reason than my cohorts here to worship you. I've been waiting for this all week.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, give me a minute. We're going to work. We're going to get the praise.
Amen.
Stir it up.
Thank you,
Caleb. I'm going to do it on the drop. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. A couple of announcements here. The brothers come and take the offering.
So we got.
It's going to be. They've already taken down the sign up for the Wilds.
Yeah. So what people need to start thinking about now is $23 per person. Start paying John for your.
Perfect. Department. So you can start paying now. Pay Brother John $23 per person of what you signed up for. And that'll be there for the Wilds. Then, Brother Jeremiah, you go to Little Bethlehem on the 11th of July.
June.
I don't know. I'm getting all crazy on the dates. June, going there. Looking forward to that. We do have Bible study this evening. Is that correct? Perfect. Looking forward to that as well. And then also, we're going to be still doing stuff back there in the tape room. So I know we got some people that had signed up and trained. But we're going to expand that and continue that so we can still get Praveen the ability to do other things. So we're going to start pushing more people to be able to back there to help out. So during the services, so remember that as well. Looking forward to the services today. Yeah, I was talking so much about Wednesday night service. I'm looking forward to Sunday morning service. You know, I'm looking forward to that. What God's going to do. We're able to have a beautiful weekend this weekend. Remember my family in prayer. We have my cousin's going through some medical complications, yeah, and my brother's going through some different legal issues and stuff like that. So remember my family in prayer. I know we all need prayer, so I know I'm coming to the right place. You know, one of the things the brother said, and I want to sing, Oh, How I Love the Name of Jesus, but that's page 6 in the Only Believe. But one of the things the brother said that just been just kind of stirring on me all week is what he said, you know, people call me a bunch of names all the time, but when they need prayer, they call me. You know, they say I'm this, they say I'm that, but then when they need to get a hold of God, they know where to go back to. They go back to the rock. You know, they come back to this pillar that's been standing here the whole time. Yeah, so I even, when Pastor Moore says that sometimes people ask him, do you still go to Fairborn? Well, yes, of course I still go to Fairborn. I'm standing on the rock. That means I'm unmovable, unshakable. You know, you'd be better off to ask me if I got the same job. I'm still going to be here, but I'm still going to be here at the church, so I appreciate that. And then also, we were blessed as a church to see a miracle baby. Sister Kara and Brother AJ, they had that baby. And the song that we're singing, it starts off, says, there is a name I love to hear. And little Henry James It's a beautiful, beautiful baby boy. Now, Henry James, I got word that they named him, that James is the middle name, so that's how I know him by. I know him by his middle name. We can appreciate that, right, brother? So it's really good to see them. So let's stand and sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Amen.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I'm singing, "Oh, how
tells me of my Savior's love.
It tells me of my Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me blood, the sinner's perfect plea. I'm singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." I'm singing, "Oh, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me." I'm singing, "Oh,
come on up, Pastor Moore.
Because He first loved me. Oh, it tells me what my Father has in store for me. He's dead. Sunshine all the way. I'm singing, "Oh, Father, oh, how I love you, Lord. I do love you. I love what you've done. I love all that you have done for not just me, but for the bride around the world from all ages. You have brought us to a place where we now know who we are. We've seen the death, burial, and resurrection of the groom. And Lord, we've seen the death, burial, and resurrection of the bride. And now we're on our feet today, understanding exactly our role and who we are. We thank you for your healing power that, Lord, we receive by your word, and ask you to touch those that are in need. I got a text that Tina needs a touch from you this morning. Continue to remember Trevor this morning. Remember the body around the world. Lord, John and Dawn are still recuperating from sickness. And Father, we ask you to move there, and Dawn's sisters, and Lord, just different ones, different needs. And Father, each one of us here are carrying our own loads. And we know that, Lord Jesus, that the people that we run across and where we see the needs, that we can stand here today and bring their name up before you, knowing that, Lord, you know the need. Father, I ask you to move in the behalf of the congregation. Take today's service, Lord, and use it for your glory, that, Lord, when we leave here today, we'll be stronger than when we got here. That we can look to your word for deliverance. We can look to your word for healing. We can look to your word for salvation. We can look to your word for everything that we have need of. Lord, those that are out there with broken hearts, Lord, you can mend those things. Those that are physical illnesses, Father, you can touch those bodies. Lord, your word said that you already paid the price for those things. And Lord, we agree in your word this morning and ask you to move amongst your church here. Move amongst your people that, Father, we can, Lord, move everything aside and let your word run and move in this place, Father. Oh, God, we're so grateful for your love. So grateful for your love. And Lord, we love you because you first loved us. We give because you gave. We do because you've done. And Father, you were the perfect example of what you were looking for in this hour that we're living. And Lord, if we can only follow your footsteps and walk as you walked and live as you lived, Lord, and do as you have done, Lord, when the world look at us, they will see the same God that they saw in you. Thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, help us. Speak to us. Lord, remember the Earlys down in Florida. They're always seems like battling something, whether it's physical or spiritual, or Lord, their family issues. And Lord, the things that we struggle with, they struggle, and so do we. We all struggle with the same things in our lives. And Lord, we ask you to make a way where there seemed to be no way. When it seems like that, Lord, there's a wall there, open it up and put a door there that we can get through it, Father. Yes. Lord, now that we've opened up the words, open up our hearts this morning, and let us move everything aside, that, Lord, you can come and dwell amongst us and walk these aisles and deal with our hearts and talk to our hearts and minds, that, Father, we can see the next step that you want us to take. Thank you for everything, Father. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. This is the one of the best days of the week. I know there's two of them that I really like a lot. But it's just a beautiful day to be able to come and serve God. Every day is a beautiful day to serve God. But it's a day that where we get to come together in the house. And I appreciate that. And just remember those that are sick. That seems like that old COVID doesn't give up. That devil, it's just rampant and it's running around. And it's just like, you know, it's the devil, because the devil changes his tactics. You get a shot for one, then he changes the tactics. And then you got to get a shot for another, and then he changes the tactics. Well, that's the devil. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You get him once and you got him. And you want to keep him. Amen. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be able to come amongst the living, the spiritual living, and to be able to gather in the house. And there is no better place to be than right here where you are right now. Because this is where we get our strength. This is where we get our answers. This is where God reminds us of who we are. You know, I tell you, sometimes we forget who we are. And we forget what the responsibilities are that you have. And we forget what's really important. And we look at things the wrong way. And sometimes God has to come and remind us of our real reason for being here. It's not about your job. It's not about your family. It's not about your career and your retirement and the things that you can get on this side. It's about submitting yourself to the will of God and what he wants to do through you. Because it's not even any good unless it's done through something. God can't even be God unless we're here. He needs to be an object of worship. So he needs us to worship him. He wants us to worship him. And we want to worship him. It's not just a one-sided love affair. It's not just God loving me. I love him. And I do what I do because I love him. You say, well, you don't do the best. I do the best I can. But I love him. It doesn't change my love. It's because your wife, like I always use the term, burns the toast. Don't mean she don't love you. She loves you. But she just having a struggle there with that toaster. And if you don't know how to turn it down, you'll burn them every time. But that's okay. It doesn't change her love. It doesn't change your love for God. Sometimes, you know, we almost want to feel like we're in a physical fight. But do you realize that I was thinking about it when I was sitting on the organ. I thought, you know what? In the Old Testament, everything was natural. All the worshiping God, the sacrifices, the altars, the blood, all those things that were natural, even the fighting and taking a land and everything, all that was natural. But when we moved into the New Testament, we moved from a natural warfare to a spiritual warfare. And some of us are still trying to fight spiritual warfare with natural things, and it won't work. You got to understand what you got. You got to understand how to fight. God's not trying. Jesus told him, he said, if this world was mine, God would send some angels and I'd fight for it. And I'd do what I do in a natural. But see, in the New Testament, it's not a natural fight. And we sometimes still get in natural fights thinking that it's going to solve a spiritual warfare. And it won't do it. So I thought this morning, after Wednesday night's message, I really enjoyed Brother Alex Wednesday night. And talking about us and being the claiming what God promises, you know, claiming and he won. Now that was me last Sunday, but he said on Wednesday, he was talking about the seven pillars of God. And he was talking about those seven pillars and he started describing those pillars. And I thought, you know what? That should be us. We shouldn't be so easily tossed. We shouldn't be up and down. You know, if you're up and down and in and out and in church one week and out the next and up one day and God's great and the next day, oh God, why? You're trying to fight a spiritual warfare with natural things.
Amen.
You're determining how your warfare is going by how you feel.
Right.
When you're feeling good, God is great. When something goes that's not your way, then God's not so great, and I don't even know why I'm going through this. And sometimes we got the old woe me's. You know how that, you ain't never had those, but I've had them before. Oh, woe is me, Lord. Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to do this? Do you realize if you don't go through nothing, you won't be victorious over anything? You are not an overcomer because you just got everything you wanted. You overcome because you press towards the mark of the high calling. You overcome because you have actually turn the devil down, and you've actually showed him who you are. And see, if you're going to be a strong believer, you can't even be a strong believer until you go through something. Amen. I'm a believer in that. I know I've been around for a while, and I know I've never gained any ground with God until I went through a trial with the devil. Amen. As long as everything's so great and going your way, oh, you're smiling, you're taking it easy, you're pleasing God and everything else. But you let a storm cloud come your way. You let a little trial come your way. You let the devil start hounding on you. You let him start messing with you. Because see, remember, the devil, he's going to try to mess with you naturally and spiritually. If he can't get you one way, he's going to get you another. If he can't, like Don said, if he can't push you, he'll pull you. He's trying to be the king of the hill. And whatever he wants to do, you got to be strong enough to stand when everything else falls apart. It's not an hour of weak Christians. It's not an hour to take down. It's not an hour to submit to the devil. It's an hour to stand up and be counted for. You got to let the world know which side you're on. It's not enough to just say I'm a Christian and never go through nothing. But go through something. Right. And you know what? When you're going through it, you're not smiling. When you're in the middle of a fight, you're not grinning and smiling. You're busy. You're blocking. You're guarding. You're swinging. You're trying to hit something. You're trying to defeat the enemy.
Amen.
But in the middle of it all, you need to understand who's on your side.
Right.
You got to understand that I cannot lose.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ is on your side, I'll never lose. I don't care what battle it is. You say, well, I'm dying with cancer. Even if I'm dying with cancer, I still will never lose. Because if this earthly tabernacle can be dissolved, I got another one. I win when he loses.
Amen.
But sometimes we forget these kind of battles. We forget that you got to fight. You got to fight. You got to be accounted for. You got to stand up. You got to be a pillar.
Yes. Amen.
You really do. You got to stand up and be counted for. Don't let the devil bowl you over. Let him know who you are.
Amen.
We should in this hour know who we are.
Amen.
You say, well, you can say that because you've never been through nothing. I've been through 43 years of many things. I've been up sometime and I've been down. I've been right and I've been wrong. I've been in and I've been out. But the one thing that I have never changed is that I have a love for God and I never let the devil move that. I don't even let him question that. So I got a scripture I want to start with this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. I like strong believers. I like strong Christians. I like people in this hour that we're living in with as much as we have. The devil should have such a hard time dealing with you. It shouldn't be you having the devil knock you around. You should be putting the devil in his place. Because we got the word. God's already shown us who we are. And if you can't be strong now, I don't know when it's going to happen. But you're not going to get strong until you go through something. You're not going to get strong just sitting here on these benches.
Amen.
Your family's got to turn on you. Your friends got to turn on you. Your job's got to turn on you. Sometimes even your wife's got to turn on you. But see, that's what proves who you are. That's what proves really who you are. You ain't proving nothing sitting here today.
Come on.
You really not?
No.
You just showed you can get up out of bed on Sunday morning. But what you do when you get here will make all the difference in the world.
Amen.
When you come here and you hear the Word of God and you start feasting on the Word of God and you hide the Word of God in your heart and take it out of here with you, that's where the battle is. That's where the warfare. Oh, it comes into the house of God. But it comes in and we kick it out. Amen. But it lives out there. And you got to be able to stand in this hour when everything else is falling apart. This world is falling apart. Amen. And all the patching and all the fixing and all the churches they're building and putting together, and it's not going to fix it. It's on its way out.
Amen.
So I got a scripture here, Ephesians chapter 6. I want us to know how to fight. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil, withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I want to title this message this morning, Standing in This Evil Day.
Amen, Lord.
We need to know how to do it.
Amen.
We need to know how to do it because we need to understand we're not fighting against the government. We're not fighting against trying to find a country or trying to take a land, something natural. You're fighting a spiritual warfare here. And in all these things that we have been fighting, we need to understand how to fight. Because you will be attacked. Satan is not going to leave any believer alone. He's going to hit you physically. He's going to hit you financially. He's going to hit you spiritually. He's going to hit you in any way that he can possibly hit you. And the thing that you got to understand is that you need to know how to fight him back.
Amen.
Because if you don't know what to use to defend, see, the thing is, you are defending what you have.
Yeah.
And Satan is trying to convince you otherwise.
Right.
And he will be so convincing outside of the word of God that if you don't have the understanding of the word of God, you will fall for his unbelieving tricks.
Amen.
And you will be up and down, and you will be in and out.
Yeah.
You'll be sick and you'll be well. And while you're sick, you think, oh God, I can't do this. I can't make it through. But then somehow you recover. And then it was just another trick. Then something happens in your life. A very big disappointment. And you feel like, oh, this is the end. I can't do it. I've been there, people. I've been up against those walls. But the thing that you have to do is take the things that God has given you to fight with. Because you're going to have to fight.
Amen.
You're not going to win this thing if you don't fight.
Amen.
You're not going to go to heaven just because you decide it's a good place to be.
Right.
You're going to have to fight every inch of the way. Amen. Do you know in the Old Testament they had to fight to clean out the entire land?
Amen.
They had to fight physically to get the land. And you have to fight spiritually to get the land.
Amen.
So I thought this morning, I want to take each one of these elements. Because you need to know how to use what you got.
Okay.
If you got equipment and don't know how to use it, then what good is it?
Come on.
Okay.
Right.
Brother Branham said,
Amen.
This age is the most deceiving age.
Right.
He said, All the age, all of the age, all the ages of deceit from the Garden of Eden all the way down. There's never been an age so deceptive as this age. False prophets will rise and show signs and wonders, if possible, to deceive the very elected. See? Now, just a cold, formal, starchy church and so forth of man-made theology. The elect would never pay no attention to that. But it's up there almost like the real thing. Just leaving out one word is all you have to do. Promised of the age, the very great time. Christians everywhere, take heed of the hour that we're living in. This is the most deceiving time there is. Everybody's churchy. Everybody's religious. Everybody thinks they have the answers. Everybody thinks they know what it is. But they don't know what it is. You got to understand this. You need to understand how you're living in, because you're going to be faced up with people who look like God.
Right. That's right. Come on.
Live better than you.
Come on. Yeah. Amen.
Have all their ducks in a row.
That's the truth. Come on.
And yet, they're the most deceiving people in the world.
Right. Come on. Preach.
Because they don't have the Word of God. And if you don't have the Word of God, you don't have nothing. You might have a big church. You might have a lot of people. You might have good speakers. You might have a good choir. The people might dress right, look like, talk right, and everything else. But if the Word of God is not there, that's the most deceiving people there are on the face of the earth. They'll make you question yourself. Because they look better than you. They sound better than you. They live better than you. But you got to know what you're dealing with. You got to be able to fight this thing. You must know for yourself. Because if you don't know who you are, nobody else is going to know who you are. If you move your stake every other week and get a new birth every other week, when you find somebody that lives better than you, somebody that acts better than you, they're deceiving.
Amen. That's right.
If the Word of God is there, I don't care how rough it looks.
Right.
John the Baptist was rough. He come out of the wilderness rough.
Yeah.
But he come face to face with the Word of God.
Amen.
Jesus was rough.
Amen.
Paul was rough. Peter was rough. But they had the Word of God. And I don't care how smooth the speaker is. I listen to him on the radio all the time.
Yeah.
They'll talk you so smooth, and they'll be lying to you while they're talking to you.
Amen.
They'll preach thing, and they'll sound so smooth, and they act like and sound like they know what they're talking about. But it's the devil.
Amen.
The most deceiving age there's ever been is this age right now. The most deceivable people there are on the face of the earth are the ones that are here right now.
Amen.
And if you don't know who they are, you don't know how to fight them.
Right.
You got to start by recognizing your day and its message.
Amen.
Recognizing the hour that you're living in, that nobody else but you has it.
Amen.
You're right.
That's a hard thing to say. You say, but there's a lot of good churches. There's three churches on this one block.
Right.
A lot of good people.
Right.
I pass three or four churches on my way home. And I don't live that far away.
Right.
A lot of good people, nice people, kind people, people that are kinder than me, better than me. But what do I have that they don't have? The Word of God. So it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how they look. It doesn't matter what they do. It never moves me, because I know I've got the Word of God. And when you've got the Word of God, you've got everything you need to fight with. You understand that they're deceiving, and they're being deceived. They're not deceiving you on purpose.
Right.
They're deceived themselves.
Amen.
The Bible says, if the blind lead the blind, now the second person that's in that line may be blind and not even know that that first person's blind. They think they're taking them where they need to go.
Right.
And if that leader's blind, the people go right behind that leader. They're blind just as much as the leader is.
Amen.
And they'll all fall in the ditch.
Amen. Yep.
So don't look at any place else except for your own experience. Amen. So you can't serve God by serving man. You can't serve God by hanging out where everybody looks like they're all together. You better do this for yourself. Amen. Because you never know when your brother or your sister might fall off. Amen. And I love my brothers and my sisters to death, but I ain't falling off with them.
That's right.
I'm staying where the word of God is. Amen. That's what I told them when we had that church split and we lost a lot of the big, beautiful, nice, churchy people. All the holy ones.
Yeah.
They thought we weren't going to last the week because all they left was the blacks and the riffraffs.
Oh,
that's what they said.
Amen.
That's what they felt, and that's what they believed. And they thought that the whites didn't know what they were doing, so they were dumb and staying. And the blacks just needed to go back to the west side, so they thought this church was no good for nobody. And they thought all the good people were moving. And they took all half the church. They took all the money. They took all the people. They took the songwriters. They took the preachers. They took the musicians. They took everybody. Matter of fact, they had a church bigger than ours.
They did.
But they left the one thing they should have took with them.
Amen.
There was a man named Earl Childers here.
Amen.
And he had the word of God in him.
Yeah.
Oh, he may not sing like them. Oh, he may not preach like them. Oh, he may not get the gathering like them, but he had the word of God.
Amen.
And I looked around the church, and the church was slimmed down. And I said, well, we still have him.
Amen.
As long as you've got the word of God, you've got God.
Amen.
So you got to, first of all, know the hour that you're living in. And you got to do this thing for yourself. When I was told we're following a man, I knew I wasn't following a man. I knew I wasn't following a man. I couldn't speak for them. And they told me, Brother Nate, we're following a man. I'm like, speak for yourself. I still to this day remember it shoveling. And I was shoveling right ahead of them. And they said, I was like, oh, no, I'm not. You might have been. You may be even telling. See, they could be telling the truth. They were following a man. And the proof of the pudding was that they left because of the man. And when you leave because of a man, that means you're following a man. I don't travel and leave and go because of man. I follow the word of God. And if the word of God is here, then I'm here. And I told Brother Children, I told this church, I said, it's my job to make sure the word of God stays here.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what I've done.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not liked. I know I'm not liked. I know that I don't care about me, but I don't care about them. I care about the word.
Word.
See, the word of God is the most important thing. Like Paul said, if anybody comes to you, an angel from heaven, come preaching any other gospel,
Amen.
Curse him. Because you know what? I know I'm right.
Amen.
I know I've got the word. See, you got to be that sure about your revelation. You got to be that sure about who you are. It's not about you and me. It's about you and God.
Amen.
Nobody should be able to talk you out of this thing. Nobody should be able to take. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. So in order for you to fight, you got to know why you're even here.
Amen.
You got to recognize the hour that we're living in. We're in the most deceiving hour of mankind. You must personally be fully persuaded. And when you're persuaded, you know what happens when your friends walk away? It should make you stronger.
Yeah.
When your family say you don't know what you're doing, it should make you strong. Remember Jeremiah, when I told y'all he was going to be pastors and next pastor, and he hadn't been through nothing. He's wet behind the ear. He didn't even know. He didn't know his head from his tail. He didn't. He was just young, just starting to preach. And God told me he was the next one. And I went to Brother Childers, and I told Brother Childers, I said, Brother Childers, if something ever happens to me, Jeremiah's going to be the next one. God told me he's the next one. Brother Childers looked at me and said, really? Is that what God told you? I said, yep. He said, fine with me. Because it's not about the man, it's about the word. But Jeremiah had to grow into his position. Do you know what it cost this boy? I call him a boy. I know he's
He ain't no boy no more. He was a boy when I first met him. You know what it cost him? His entire family. His minister's friends. His friends. And you know what it did? He got stronger and stronger and bolder and bolder. Because see, you never know what God will do. He lost his family, but he gained his family. He's in better shape with his family now than he was 20 plus years ago, whatever it was. But he's been through something. You don't get this by not going through nothing. You're going to have to press. You're going to have to push. You're going to have to stand alone. In the middle of this room, I'm standing alone. I'm not saying, see, the pillars don't stand against something else. Pillars stand on their own. Pillars are who they are because of who they are. So you first have to recognize the day and hour that we're living in, realizing that you have to stand on your own because it's a relationship between you and Jesus Christ and nobody else. Nobody else in this building. You got to do this for yourself. Because I've seen husbands and wife. I use Jim. I know he lets me. Jim and the male were together many years. Years. But Jim had to get stronger. He's a deacon of a church. We needed him to be strong. You know, I like the way Brother Alex said it Wednesday. He said Satan wasn't going after Job. God started that fight. Because he wanted Job strong. You can't be strong with everything going your way. Jim needed a little bit of a backbone about it. Because that's what my deacons got. They got to be back men with backbone. But Jim had a good family, good wife, good job, nice house. How about drove by that house the other day on my way out somewhere? Beautiful house. Clifton days. We're just all just having a good old time together. And by, Satan struck. And Jim had to stand. Just like Job. You talk like a foolish woman. When your wife starts talking foolish, you got to stand. Your wife's the closest thing to you. She's closer to you than your kids.
That's true.
So when God wants to give you a little backbone, he got to put you in the fire. Try a little bit. Put you through something. And a real son or daughter of God will stand. Every time.
Every time.
Every time. Because God is causing you to go through these things to put a little something in you that you need. And we don't even hardly look at it like that. We look at it like, oh, I got problems. I'm going through this. No, God's tempering you. God's getting all the dross out of you. He's beating you with this. You know, anvil. He's beating you with the anvil to get all the weakness out of you.
Right.
And where the world's always looking at trying to do something in the natural, God ain't even worrying about the natural. God's dealing with a supernatural thing going on.
Amen.
And we go through trials and we don't even look at it right. We go, oh, the devil got me. Devil got me. Lord, what am I going to learn out of this? Get the gold out of it. Don't go through something and not get anything out of it. Don't go through a divorce and not get anything out of it. Don't have a family argument and don't get anything out of it. Don't lose a friend and don't get anything out of it. You need to learn by what you're going through. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You don't even learn obedience until you suffer. So you got to really realize that when you're going through these things in life, and I'm just as human as anybody else, and I do the same thing. When I'm going through it, I ain't worried about the spiritual lessons. That's why I'm here reminding you this morning. Because when you're going through it, somebody has to half the time have to remind you, hey, this is God. You're going through something.
Right.
You're learning something. You're losing your feathers. Right. You're losing your feathers. You think, oh man, life is bad. I'm having trouble. And it's not even that. You got to get rid of the old feathers to get the new ones.
Right.
How God gonna change your feathers? He ain't doing it in the middle of your flight. He's got to humble you. Take you out of the air. See, as long as you're flying high and you got a good job and you got a good family and everything's going your way and all the kids are great, they are lining up just right, they line up like little ducks, they march into church, they don't cause me any problems, everything's hunky-dory. Yeah, but you got to get rid of those feathers.
Amen.
And then the feathers start falling out and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? It's called molting.
Yeah.
An eagle molts. They go through a molting season when they lose their feathers, their flight feathers. They can't fly no more.
Right.
And that's when your brothers and sisters come through and they come up to you and they'll say, I see you're going through something, Jeremiah.
Right.
I could tell that you're going through some things.
Yeah.
Hang in there, brother.
Right.
That's some meat.
Yeah.
It'll... This too shall pass.
Yes.
That's some meat.
Amen.
All things work together for good. That's meat. And when you're molting and you know what? Honestly, I can tell you about this because I've done it myself. When you're molting, you don't want to hear about God. Am I the only one to do that? Don't preach to me. Don't give me no scripture. Don't give me no word of God. God ain't even in this at all. But what you got to understand, God's always with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might lose your feathers, but you don't lose God. And in those times when you don't even want to hear scripture, sometimes your brother have to slip it to you in another way. Let me help you out, Jeremiah. And while you're growling at me, I'm giving you word. But after a while, your feathers come back in. And you get your flight feathers back. And you take off. And when you're back on the top of things, you know, the God that was with you when you were down there molting is the same God that's up there in the blue. He never left you.
Yeah.
You feel like he leaves you. Sometimes you can't hardly even make it through the day. Depressed, down, out. Mad at everybody.
Amen.
But he's still there.
Amen.
Brother Brown, I'm talking about that, Brother Lockett, those little eaglets. When God's ready to get them to fly, what does he do? When he built that nest, the first thing the eagle does is he builds it with thorns and thistles. And he picks all this straw and stuff and this just rough stuff. Then on top of that, he puts some downy feathers. Then they have the eggs. And they hatch. And the little eaglets are hanging around that nest like, whoa, this is like heaven to me. Yeah. Soft, cushy. After a while, mama's like, okay, I see those feathers.
Yeah.
Time for you to go.
Yeah.
So what does she do? She don't kick them out of the nest. She just starts pulling the feathers back.
Right.
Yeah. And under the feathers is the thorn. I hate, rose bushes, they're beautiful, but oh, they're, you can't touch them without getting stuck. As much as I try not to, I get it every time. She pulls those feathers back, and honey, there's a rose bush. And those little eaglets, they never been through nothing. All they know is down feathers, like y'all. Never been through a trial. And all you had was the church telling you predestinated. Church telling you you're gift of God. Church telling you you're eternal. You come from God, you're going to God. And y'all are like, yes, yes. All right. Then after a while, that mama takes the feathers and start kicking them out of the nest. She don't kick the bird out. She kicked the feathers out. And then it gets uncomfortable. It's like, I got to do something about this. This ain't comfortable. And the mother bird just flies up there and says, you need to figure this out. But they go through that little trial to teach them to fly.
Right.
And we go through trials. We all do. Amen. And when you go through your first trial, you think, oh, it's the end of the world. I'm going to die. Yeah. Get 30, 40 years, Jeremiah. Don't even feel the bump. Been through so much, just like you expected.
Right.
I've had so many people leave me, I expect it. But you got to understand the hour you're living in. You got to have this thing for yourself.
Amen.
It's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. Amen. It's not you and your wife, you and your husband, you and the kids. Oh, we're happy. No, you are serving God for your own self. That's where we start. Before you put anything on, you got to find out who you are.
Amen.
As Brother Lockett always reminds us, you must be born again.
Yeah.
Don't put on the armor of God if you're not born again, because it won't fit.
That's right.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, the whole Christian armor is absolutely supernatural.
Yes.
There's nothing natural. If you can prove God, then there is no more need of faith. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's by faith. The whole Christian armor is faith. First of all, you got to know who you are. Faith is revelation. You got to first establish yourself. Put your own face mask on before you help the person sitting next to you. You got to know who you are. You got to know, I'm born again. I come from God, and I'm going to God, period. If nobody else in this church is going, I'm going.
Amen.
That's how real it's got to be to you.
Yes,
you can't say, oh, well, I'm going, but I know the pastor's going. It's just you. It's just you. Well, me and my wife, mm-mm. Me and my family, mm-mm. You must be born again for yourself.
Right.
You have to serve God for yourself. That's where it starts.
That's right.
And then realizing that it's not a natural war, you should be expecting Satan to attack you.
Yes.
Because he ain't after the world.
Right.
He gives them everything that they want, and he don't even care about it.
Right.
You see them driving in these nice cars, flying around in helicopters. Rich, lots of money, and you're checking your pocket to see if you got enough for a McDonald's hamburger. They got it made. The devil is not after them. The devil's after you. If they're going to mess with anybody at school, it's going to be you. If your neighborhood's going to have any problems, it's going to be with you. If your family's going to get upset with anybody, it's going to be with you. Because you are the one that knows who they are, and Satan is going to use anything that he can use to get to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, that's why you got to be able to know how to overcome in this evil age.
Yeah, that's right.
You young people in school, God bless you.
Yeah.
Got it rough. Because you don't look like the world.
Right.
You don't act like the world. You're not like the rest of the kids in school.
No.
You're different.
Amen.
You have a different behavior.
Right.
You have a different attitude.
Yes.
You carry yourself. You know, they even tell how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
You carry yourself different.
Yeah.
You're not walking around here like all the other boys when they were wearing those pants down here and hat backward and shirt just, you know, doing all that. You're not doing that. You're not trying to please them. You want to please God.
Amen.
And they will know that you're different. They won't know what it is that they see.
Right.
What they see is God.
Right.
But they don't know God.
Right.
That's like if I walked in a school today and I walked in your classroom. They'll look at me like, who is that? But you'll sit there and say, there's Pastor Moore. You're the only one in the room who knows.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
You're different. You act different. You are different.
Yeah.
So don't try to worry about the world. Understand they are there and they will put you in a crosshairs just because you're different. Anything that's different automatically goes in the crosshairs. That's why they try to bully you. That's why they try to target you. That's why they try to message you. It's because you're different. But thank God you're different. You don't need to be like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Oh, you still have certain things you have to do to get along with the world and get to, you know, you got to go to school, you got to go to class, you got to do these things, you got to get your education on and on and on.
Right.
Yeah, you got to do that, but you're going to be different. You might as well just
Amen. Realize
it.
Right.
And then if you're different, then don't hang around people who aren't going after the same thing you're going after. Because you'll create an atmosphere around you. And the devil knows it. The devil knows it at work.
Yeah.
You create an atmosphere around you at work.
Uh-huh.
You create an atmosphere around you at your home.
Right.
Your neighbors know it. You're different. They know it. You're not of this world. But you know what? That's why Satan targets you. Because he sees you, because he only assumes that you're a Christian. He only assumes that you're a believer.
Right.
He spends all his time trying to make you fall off the mountain.
Right.
Trying to take you, talk you out of what you have. That's why you got to drive your stake. That's why you drive your stake. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how bad it looks. You might look really bad. But the driving of your stake, what it does, it just puts you a place where, as a pinpoint,
Yeah. Where
no matter what you're going through, you can look back to that stake
Right. And
say, that's me.
Amen.
I look back 43 years ago,
Right. And
I drove my stake. And when I drove my stake 43 years ago, I didn't know all I was going to go through to get to 43 years.
Right.
But I drove my stake and I said, I'm a believer. I believe this word and I will do whatever God wants and on and on and on. I love him and all that. And I drove that stake. And this whole time I've been walking with God, I always look back and say, well, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. No matter what comes, when I lose loved ones, when people die, when people walk away, when the church splits and all these things, I don't stay and do all this stuff because I'm so right and strong and on and on. I do it because I believe who I am.
Amen.
I don't have all the right answers when churches split. I don't know why they do it. I always say I can only think like a crazy person for so long. Then I have to leave it alone. Because if you follow a crazy person's thinking too long, you have to be crazy to think like them.
Amen.
When people look around the church and they don't think y'all are good people, that's crazy.
Amen.
You're the best people I know.
Honest.
Love God.
Amen.
Sincere. Doing the best you can.
Yeah.
You say, well, they're not doing good enough. They're doing good enough for God.
Amen.
We're all in this thing for ourselves.
Amen.
That's why Brother Childers never collected and liked clicks. No offense, Jim. That's the only click allowed. But he didn't allow clicks. Because what it was a group of people who were in this little group.
Yeah.
And they were all doing the same thing. And as long as one was there, they're all there like a little beehive. You know, that's just.
Yeah.
But then one get offended. They take the whole clique
Yeah. And
leave.
Amen.
That's all they do.
Right.
So we don't accept people here as cliques, and we don't accept people to stay here as cliques. There ain't nobody in this place any better than anybody else. And when you think you're better than somebody else, you are crazy.
Amen.
First thing he said, your loins will be girded with the truth. John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth is what Jesus said. Thy word is truth. How do you gird yourself with truth? By receiving the word. That's the first thing you got to do. When anybody in this church, first thing you want to do is take on the word. Eat the word. Eat every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You don't have an option to come here and decide what you want to believe and not.
That's right.
You don't. You say, well, this is a free moral agent. We haven't done it. Yeah, it is free. You're free to go. The word of God is here. And if you want the word of God, you'll be here. If you don't want the word of God, we don't even really want you here.
Right.
You say, you're an awful pastor. I am. If you don't want the word of God, you can't be clothed and you can't be girded about with the truth.
Right.
The word of God is all that we have here for you.
Amen.
You say, well, if we could draw more people if we had a better choir. We got better musicians. We have more people come to our church. They'd like it. I'm not getting people gathered here for the music.
Right.
I'm not pampering people along to try to do something good for you to make you come back. I don't have no church bus driving around picking up. You know why they have these church buses? They try to get a hold of the family by the kids.
Right.
If they can get the kids and pick them up for Sunday school, the parents are like, a day without kids? Boy, that's easy. Oh, yeah. So then they think if they get the kids, then they get the kids in programs. And of course, they're going to invite the parents to the programs. Well, the goal is to get the parents in church. But they got all these schemes and all these trickeries to get people. I learned something. Michelle, I learned something. She had me out at this park, and I was out there, and God bless Michelle. She gave me this board and things. She gave me all the stuff I needed out there. I went out and sat out. A little dumb me, I don't know. I set things up, and everybody's walking past me going to the next table. They didn't stop for nothing. I had no giveaways. That's what it is. I had no giveaways. And they kept passing me up. And the neighbor, God bless her, she felt sorry for me. So she said, you want some candy? I said, sure. She gave me this whole big old thing of kisses. And I put it out there. And what I found out, the parents weren't trying to stop by, but the kids were.
Yeah.
And because the kids come running, I'm like, you want some candy? Then the parents come up. And then I could talk to the parents because the kids got their candy. And then the parents feel obligated to talk, at least listen to me, because I gave them something free for their kids and they love their kids. So that's all games and gimmicks.
Amen.
That's what they do in churches.
Yeah.
They try to pull in the kids to get the parents because they ain't after the kids. Kids don't have no money.
Right.
But they don't worry about the word. They don't worry about what they're being taught. They worry about whether they're being treated nice, whether you shake their hands, whether they do these things. They're looking at all these things. You need to keep your eyes on one thing in this place, people. That's the word of God.
Amen.
And when the word is preached, you don't have any choice but to believe it. I'm not trying to get your kids to give them candy. I'm not trying to rake you in here to get your money. If you don't want the word of God, you can't get, you cannot get dressed.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I'm talking about how to stand in this evil day. You cannot stand in this evil day without the word of God.
Amen.
Gird your loins about with the truth. Close yourself with the revelation of the word. Let the word dress you. Let the word cover you. Let the word, and when the word gets in there, everything else will take care of itself. Your friends will take care of itself. Your family will take care of itself. Do you realize when I started coming to this church, not one of my siblings went to church? 43 years ago, none of them. Matter of fact, me and my brother would have discussions about the great being within, because he didn't believe in God, and he was, and they, none of them went to church. And I started going to church, and they thought I had lost my mind. They thought it was temporary, and they thought I'd get over it. It'll phase down. It only got worse. The flames got worse. Amen. Fire got bigger. But do you know today, there's not one of my siblings that don't either go to church or believe in God or have some affiliation with God.
Right.
Not one.
Right.
Not one. That's 10 out of 10.
Wow.
Right. You don't think your parents' prayers don't work? They work. But the thing I had to do was when I was by myself, I had to stand. They were watching the whole time. You don't know who's watching you. I had my brothers and sisters. We were all sitting around the table talking one time, and my oldest brother stood up. And he said, if I'm going to serve a God, I'm going to serve the same kind of God that Mama had. And the Nate's God. And I thought, whoa, I mean, that's what he was telling my brothers and sisters. But it was because I stood. It wasn't that I did everything right. I just stood on the Word of God. The Word of God said it, and I believed it. So when you got the Word of God, don't worry about your siblings. Amen. Don't worry about your kids. Don't worry about your spouse. You serve God. Right. You stand. You be that pillar. You be that example. Yeah. You be the one and only one. And let's see what God will move around you. Because if you stand, everything else has to move around you.
Right.
You will build the atmosphere in your home. Your kids aren't going to serve a God that you don't serve. Your wife won't be any more spiritual than you are. Your husband won't listen to God. You know, if I don't listen to God, Clarice won't listen. Because I believe in leadership. If I didn't call to her and just let her do what she... Y'all think Clarice is all spiritual. Clarice has a husband. That's how it works. If you think Clarice does everything just perfect because she just is so spiritual with God, oh no. She got a husband like, But you know what? Don't think I'm so spiritual because I'm pastoring this church. I got a husband that when I get out of line, he goes, ain't nobody exempt here. Don't think one's got it better than the other.
Amen.
We all have a boss.
Amen.
We all have to answer to God.
Amen.
We all have some things that we're responsible for. And when the Word of God comes forth, you are responsible to receive every bit of it.
Amen.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And right now, the mouth of God is right here. You say, well, I don't know. You got to have it all. You're trying to girt yourself up to be able to make it in this day. The only way you're going to do it is by the Word of God. That's why people go to church and they don't overcome and they never make it because they don't have the Word.
Amen.
They have social groups. They got their social society groups and they have a lot of good church functions and activities. But when it comes to the Word of God, it doesn't exist in their building.
Right.
Because God will not quicken a creed. God will not quicken an idea. God will only quicken His Word. And if the Word is not being preached, then your church is dead.
Amen.
So first, you got to find the truth.
Right.
And when you find the truth, don't let it go. People walk away. They come to church and they walk out.
I'm like, I don't get it. Man come here one time, and we've talked about it before. He come in the service and sat here and looked around. We weren't speaking in tongues. We weren't running the aisles. We weren't praying for the sick. We weren't opening doors to church. We weren't doing miracles and signs and wonders. And at the time, I had my little preemie Michael in my arm. And I walked him out to the parking lot. And I'm patting Michael. He said, I ain't coming back to this church. This church has people. Maybe Brother Isaac might have been sleeping on the bench. Because he did do that, didn't he, Warren? Isaac, come back there. And the church didn't look like what the church probably should look like in his eyes. And so he got out in the parking lot and he told me, I ain't coming back to this church. Y'all don't have no signs, no wonders. No, 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 no. He's telling me all this stuff. And here I am. I'm holding a miracle right in front of his face. Michael was 4 pounds, 10 ounces at birth. Wasn't even supposed to be able to be here because Clarice wasn't supposed to be able to get pregnant. And I'm sitting there holding. And, you know, I thought, you know what? Yeah, get in your car. And go find somewhere else. Because you don't know a miracle when you see it. You don't know God when he's standing right in front of you. And that's the way people are. You can't hold people here. If you don't have God, you're not going to stay here.
That's right.
Because we're going to eat with unwashed hands.
Come on now.
We're going to pick corn on the Sabbath. We're going to do something that offends you. And because your tradition is more important to you than the Word of God, you're not even going to hear the Word of God because you have to have an ear to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
So you know you can't be girded with the Word. You can't be, you cannot be girded with the truth because you don't even have an ear to hear. Because you're too busy looking around at everything else. You don't even know the hour you're living in. You're looking to be deceived.
Right.
If you walk away from the Word of God, you're looking to be deceived. When they turned Jesus down, all they had was Barabbas. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free. A lot of people say set you free. I like the word make you free because that's the way the Bible said it. And there's a difference between set and make. Setting something free means you got it and you let it go. Making something free is created.
Amen.
Listen to what Brother Branham said here. Just once more, Lord. I'm talking about standing in this evil day. I'm trying to tell you how to use these armors and these things that God said. Use this to overcome. Satan has no power. Only as he can bluff with. He can bluff with it. If he can bluff you into it, all right. You have to have it. But legally, he has no power at all. Think of that. Every power he has was taken from him at Calvary. There's where the price was paid. He is nothing but a bluff. People just try to bluff you. If you want to listen to his bluff, well, all right. But you don't have to. You are free tonight. He has made you free. And now if something in the Word can make you realize that you are free by His grace, or if something realized the Word makes you understand, or some act of God that is included, it includes us all, then you just accept it on those bases. If He says you're free, you're free. And you're free. And you're free also. You don't have to feel any different, see? People want to feel something. They want to feel it. They don't even know. They want to know how. They want to feel free. It's not a feeling. You don't have to feel any difference. You don't have to feel anything at all. It's not about your feeling. It's the Word of God. It's not based on. Jesus never did say, do you feel it? He said, do you believe it? It's faith. That faith is.
is an arm, a mighty arm that holds the sharp two-edged sword of God. And that sharp two-edged sword will cut every promise free. Amen. If that the arm of faith is able to yield that sword. Some people have very weak muscles trying to, some people have very weak muscle trouble, and they can just maybe cut off a little scratch, enough to join church. Others can come into justification. Some can go all the way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A great strong arm holding that Bible, cutting every promise free. That's right. So be strong in the Lord. These promises in the Bible are only for us.
Amen.
And you, but you got to claim them. Remember we told the story about the prisoner? They wanted to sentence him to death. And they were going to get a pardon from Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln wasn't at the White House. He was out in the field, and he didn't have the White House letterhead. He didn't have this, so he jotted it down on some scrap, something. Took it back. The prisoner looked at that paper and said, "Why, this ain't the president. Where's the letterhead? Where's the seal? Where's this? Where's that? Go back and get me the right paper." He was sentenced to die. So while they were out with their horse and buggy, going to get the right paper, he was executed. So by the time the letterhead got there, he was already dead, and his family's like, "We're suing you because you killed him," and he wasn't supposed to. The president pardoned him. And when it went to court, judge heard the case. Judge said, "Well, he had a pardon, but he didn't receive it as a pardon. And a pardon is not a pardon unless you receive it." That's the way it is with the Word of God. Only the believers can really accept this pardon. Nobody else can do it. They'll try. They'll work their way up. They'll do all these things, but they won't get nowhere with God. And here you are sitting here believing every word. Believing every word. You say, "Well, I can't live it." Well, I believe it, though. I believe every word. I don't feel nothing, but I believe it. God says in His Word that I'm healed, so I believe it. God said that I received the gift of the Holy Ghost if I was baptized and I've repented. And I believe it. I don't feel no different, but it's not about your feeling. God's Word is God's Word.
Amen.
And it's His Word stands on its own.
Amen.
That's right.
Doesn't need to be propped up. Doesn't need to be fancied. Doesn't need beautiful music around it. You know, we can have church and not have one song.
That's right.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen. Come right in here and eat.
Amen. Amen.
Get you out of here about 11. It's not about all the fixings that go with it.
Right.
The Word is the Word. And no matter how God fixes it, the bride will receive it.
Amen.
If it comes hot and hard and straight, she receives it.
Right.
If He says He loves her, she receives it.
Amen.
If He says straighten your act up, she receives it.
Amen.
You can't preach it too hard for the bride.
Amen.
She's not a hothouse plant.
Amen.
She don't have to be pampered and taken in when the weather changes.
Amen.
She'll stand strong no matter what.
Amen.
She's like that tree planted by the rivers of water.
Amen.
No matter what the rest of the world does, she's going to stand right there because she wants the Word of God.
Amen.
She's clothed by the Word of God. That's why we're strong. That's why we're not tossed by everything.
Amen.
Some people leave the church and I don't even let y'all know they're gone anymore. When I was a fresh pastor and it happens, like, this is horrible. Now, they just go. I have them leave six and eight at a time, and they go. And then what's so funny is because you don't know they're gone. Because they already stopped being a part of the body for a while. And after a while, you look around and say, "What happened to..." But you know what? If you can't stand the Word of God, you cannot stay.
I'm trying to get you clothes. I'm trying to get you dressed. I'm trying to give you some things that's going to help you to overcome in this evil age. And I can't give you things to overcome in this evil age if I pamper you. When I see you pampering yourself, I'm going to say, get up. Walk.
Amen.
Oh, but I'm sick. How long you been sick? I don't know. Like Brother Childers with Sister Foster. She got, at some point, somewhere along the line, she went to bed. I mean, went to sleep. I mean, she got in a bed and stayed there for years. And Brother Childers asked her, said, what happened? What's wrong? What's going on? And there was no reason. So he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Say, you sisters, go by her house. Because she was home. She couldn't even come to church. See, the devil wants you out of church. If you don't know it, that's his trick. He don't care about anything other than you not getting to church. He'll take your car. He'll take your job. He'll take your family. He'll mess things up. He'll schedule baseball on Sunday at 11. That's what he does. That's his tricks. And if that works, he'll keep doing it. So she was laid up in the bed for years. And Brother Childers asked her, well, why are you there? I don't know. He said, you sisters, go by the house and take her, pick her, because she couldn't, she lost all the muscles in her leg. So you sisters, take her legs up and set her up on the edge of the bed every day. Just let her sit. And then after a while, you know what? She got to a place where she could scoot to the corner of the bed and sit down herself. And then after a while, she got up to where she could walk across the room and sit on a chair. And after a while, they brought her to church. When I first come to church, she was coming to church, coming to the back of the church. There was a bed, a hospital gurney, laying in the back of the church. And she would come in and lay on that. But she was getting stronger. After a while, she'd come in and sit on the bench. Then she started cooking for her husband again. Start doing housework. Karen, and it's like, what happened? You can sit down and lose all your muscle mass. Remember, this is spiritual warfare. You can spiritually sit down and lose all your muscle mass. I'll watch them when they leave. They start up in the front, and they move to this seat, and it's time to move. Further and further back. Further and further back. After a while, they're way back there in the back. Deacon have to tell them, get out of the seat. Next thing you know, poof. They lost all their muscle mass. They got weak. But the truth is what's going to do this for us. That's why we have to preach the truth. I don't care whether you like it or not. I don't care whether you like me or not. I don't care if you like your brothers and sisters or not.
Amen.
The truth will be preached.
Amen. 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 Yes, Lord.
Because that's the only thing that's going to make you free.
Amen. Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
Satan just bluffs you. He takes advantage of your weakness, your mind, and he talks you out of it.
Yep.
He tells you you're not good enough. He tells you you need something else. He tells you what you don't have. He never, you know, the devil never tells you how good you're doing.
Never. Never.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Amen. He never tell you how good you're doing. All he tells you is he's a bad news bear. You're short here, short hair, short guy. You got a problem here, got a problem there. Now, sometimes he says that in you, and sometimes he says that in others. It's still the devil. And you don't need to worry about anything but what the Word says. If the Word says I am, then I am.
Amen.
The breastplate of righteousness. I looked up righteousness because I know it is, but I didn't. I know y'all know what it is. I just did this for myself. Righteousness is the quality or state of being morally correct and justifiable. It can be considered synonymous with rightness
or being upright. Now, I wanted to read that definition first before we read the scripture, because I want you to understand how the scripture works.
Right.
Quality or state of being morally correct and justifiable. Now turn me over to Romans chapter 10. Because this is where I needed this definition, because I thought, I don't just want to read scripture and not know what they're really saying.
Right.
Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Right.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. There's people like that. They have a zeal of God, but no revelation. They want to serve God. There's people who want to serve God and can't. Do you not realize there's people who want to serve God and can't? No man can say that Jesus is a Christ except by the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't even know that Jesus is a Christ. Now, you might have the mechanics of it, but you don't really know. They have a zeal of God. Israel had a zeal of God. They loved God, but they didn't recognize God. They didn't know God when he was right in front of them. Matter of fact, they killed him, as Jay says. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, quality of being morally correct and justifiable. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, has not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They turn down God's ability to justify them, to justify themselves.
Amen.
Do you realize you cannot justify yourselves? I don't care how good you live. I don't care how much people you know and how much godliness you have. Your self-righteousness is not God's righteousness, and God is filthy rags to him. You say, but I'm a good person. I just don't go to church. That's your own self-righteousness. Well, I love God, but I just don't like that church. That's your self-righteousness. Because the Word of God is here.
Amen.
And where the Word of God is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Right.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the end of it. Remember the Old Testament? All the Old Testament, it was all natural. But when Christ came, it took away the natural and took it to the end of that law. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that a man which does these things shall live by them. By the law.
Right.
If you can't live by every word of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. That's why we had to get away from Moses' law. Because we couldn't do it. Our self-righteousness was not enough for salvation. It wasn't then, and it's not now. And the most deceiving people are the people that live the best. I'm talking about in this day. They live good. They're nice. They're kind. They never say a crossword about anybody. They are so self-righteous in their own righteousness that they think they smell so good to God. But it's stinking his nostrils. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who hath ascended into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Who hath descended into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is a promise. It's really so easy to be saved. Just do what he said here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness. There's your breastplate. For the heart the man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe God's promised word. You believe that Jesus came and died for your sins.
Right.
You believe that Jesus was the only propitiation for your sin. The only payment. The only thing that God was requiring was the blood of Jesus Christ. You believe that, and that be accounted, that becomes righteousness.
Amen.
So you got to believe. You can't just come here and sit in these benches and not believe and think you're okay. You can sit here, but you're not okay. You got to confess it. You got to believe it with your heart. Then it becomes righteousness for you. Because Jesus was the only righteous one there. Brother Branham said, and standing in the gap, he said, and today, he is the only mediator between God and man. And we're freely pardoned and forgiven. God don't even know we ever sinned. Our sins were put in the sea of forgiveness, never to be remembered no more. We cannot do it ourselves. We are finite. He is infinite. And our finite, we can still remember because we're not big enough. But he is so great that he even forgets what we ever did. Amen. That we forgets we ever did sin. That's how big God is. We are sons and daughters in his presence. And all things that he was, we are. He became my sin that I might become his righteousness. He became your sin that you might become his righteousness. So God cannot see sin in you as long as you're confessing, as long as your confession is in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. I can't do this. Not myself. It's only through Christ that we can do this. That is our righteousness. That is our holiness. That is our life. That is our everything. He is our all in all. I'm talking about how to overcome this world. You need to confess that and know that's happened to you. And let nobody tell you anything different. They say, well, I think you should do this different. I think you'd be a better Christian if. I probably would, but I'm not. I think you would serve God better this way. I don't. I think if God wants me, he will tell me. And he's going to tell me by his word, which comes forth when we come to church. That's why you need to be in the house. Because you need to be a strong believer, not a weak believer.
Amen.
To overcome this world, you're going to have to be strong in this hour.
Yes.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all things are of God, verse 18, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Right. Now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. We might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when we become one in Christ, he takes our sins, all our unbelief, he takes it away, and he counts it as righteousness. We need that breastplate because that's the only way to defeat the devil in this deceiving hour.
Amen.
It's to understand that I am not a sinner. He took my sin. He can't even remember sin. No, I don't even have any place in me for sin to be placed.
Amen.
When you're born again and that soul, sin is, remember, sin gets attached to the soul. Sin is applied to the soul. And when he got rid of my old nature, he got rid of my old soul, he got rid of the only place he could actually put sin. And because he took away that old nature, I have no place in me to sin. I cannot disbelieve God anyway now. Because all I can do is believe the word. All I can do is become the righteousness. His breastplate of righteousness is upon me. And now I stand fully forgiven by God. You say, well, you got to go to the white throne. That's why the bride is not going to the white throne judgment.
Amen.
She's already passed.
Amen.
from death into life. See, death isn't what happens in this physical body. Death is what happens in the soul. And since I've already had that death, I've already passed into life. I can only die once. And since I've already died, when I lay this tabernacle down, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live.
Amen.
Just to move right along, I'm going to skip some things down there. The gospel of peace. According to Colossians 1, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created which are in heaven and things that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now we're talking about the gospel of peace now. This is what he's talking about. This is the gospel of peace here. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, ye now hath he reconciled. So see, here's where the gospel of peace comes in. The whole salvation story comes to play right at Calvary. Everything that happened ended at Calvary. They fought in the Old Testament in the natural. That ended at Calvary. It turned from a natural fight to a spiritual warfare. And then the price was paid at Calvary. Your redemption was paid for at Calvary. Everything that you need was paid for at Calvary. And then we come on the scene at the end time. We have to look back to Calvary because that is the gospel of peace that made it possible for us to do what we've done.
Amen.
Never get away from Calvary.
Amen.
Never get away from what Jesus paid. Always remember it's not by your works. See, people forget that it's by Jesus' works, not by ours. They forget that Jesus paid it all. They think that they offer something and they're doing something and they're bringing something. Nothing you could bring could cover the dirt that we have on us. It took the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And anything outside of that, you are barking up the wrong tree and you are not preaching the gospel of peace. No one else could. That's what Revelations chapter 1, 3, 10, 7, 8. That's what all that was about. He was the author of the book. He was the one that wrote the book. He come back and told us what was in the book. He come and told us about the seals. He was the only one worthy to loose the seals because he was the only one who was worthy to put it behind the seals.
Amen.
He took care of it all. Wasn't Calvary enough?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
The shield of faith. I like this. I looked up the word shield. A shield is a broad piece of metal or another suitable material held by straps. That was one definition. Straps or a handle attached on one side. But listen to what it was used for. That's one kind of shield. But listen to how it's used. This is more important than that first part. Used as a protection against blows or missiles. This shield that we have. The second definition is a personal thing providing protection. This shield that we have protects us. As long as you stand behind it. I don't care how many fiery darts of the devil he throws at you. I don't care how many people throw things at you, talk about you, say things about you. You stay behind that shield. It's protecting you.
Amen.
And as long as you're standing behind the Word of God, you're protected.
Yeah.
You're shielded from any fiery darts that Satan throws. Oh, I've had 43 years of darts thrown at me. But standing behind that shield, stand behind the word. See, you can't even stay behind the shield if the word's not there. People are on the battlefield with no shield. They don't have any word. They have nothing to stand behind. They're standing behind the Pope. They're standing behind some tradition. They're standing behind some denomination. But you got to stand behind the Word of God. That's your shield. That's your buckler. That's the thing that's going to keep you when everything else falls apart around you. You stand right there. Hebrews 11:1, we know this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. You got to have faith. You got to. You can't do this thing without faith. And Brother Branham said, anointed ones, he said, what is faith? It's something that's revealed to you. That is not yet, but you are believing it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So it's by revelation, by faith, interchangeable. You talk about faith, you're talking about revelation. Have faith in God. You stand right there. See, these are tools that God laid in here, the helmet of salvation to cover us from getting. Remember, the head, if you hit somebody's head, you got them. You got them. And anymore, they put these bulletproof vest on, and I always wonder, I say, you put a bulletproof vest on, but what about your head? It's smaller, but if you get it, it's gone. So you need to have that helmet of salvation on there. That salvation is what protects you. It's what keeps you in your right mind. It keeps the devil from knocking you out. And in the hour and in the day that we're living in, we need to use these tools in order to stand, because this is the worst day of all. I was going to read Revelations 3, but I'm not going to do it. We know about Laodicea. We know about these things. Right. He said over here in Hebrews 10, and I'm wrapping this up. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't move. You stay right there. I don't care how many people around you move. You stay right there. You know, when I was in the ROTC, I never got into the actual Army, but when we were out there in the field and they put you in those foxholes, you only had so much that you need to watch. You didn't need to worry about what your neighbors was watching, because they had a field to watch as well. And you had, but you were responsible for this one area, to hold that area. And it didn't matter who got shot on left or right or who fell. You held ground right there where you stood. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. You don't move off the Word of God for nobody. I don't care what it looks like. Because, see, the devil's tricky. He's tricky. He'll try to get you out of the foxhole. And you know, we were doing a camping, and we had this area we were watching. And we were standing, we were there all night. All day. And you get tired. Well, this lady comes up the road in this car, and her car stops right in front of us. And she gets out and puts the hood up, and, you know, and I'm thinking, she ain't got problems with that car. What she was doing, she was actually from another platoon, and she was acting that way to get us out of our foxhole. I didn't move. Somebody went out there, but I didn't go. And they kind of find out she was from the other platoon. And that's the way the devil works, though. He's not going to come at you like a devil. The devil don't look like that red old thing with a fork tail and horns. He don't look like that. He was an angel of light. He was the prettiest angel up there. He looks good. He sounds good. He acts good. He's going to try to persuade you out of your foxhole. He's going to try to get you out there. And if he gets you out there, then he's got you. But you hold fast to your faith. You stay right there. You use these tools that God gave us to help defend yourself in this evil, evil, evil day. Brother Branham said here in the church ages, he said, oh, we have a word for us at this time. It is hold fast.
Perseverance. Don't give up. Put on the whole armor of God. Use every weapon he's given us. Use every gift at our disposal and look ahead with joy. See, he don't even expect you to be down here, down and out. He wants you to look ahead with joy because we are going to be crowned by him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right. Hold fast. Stand still. Watch God move. Amen. Watch him move in your life. You put these items on, and you know what? Every last one of these things guard the front. There's no running back, no turning back to the children of God. We don't need to guard our back because we're not going back. We will march forward in this thing. We're going to go all the way. God's going to walk by our side. He gave us all the tools we need. You just need to take that word and use that word, use that shield, use that breastplate, use that helmet. Use all the tools that he's given you. And if you put those things to work in your life, you will stand.
Amen.
No matter what happens on around you, you will stand.
Amen.
And God expects us to stand in this evil day.
Right.
And now he's given us everything we need to be able to do so.
Yes.
So let's do that.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for your word. You've given us everything we need to stand in the hour that we're living in. And Father, when everything is falling to the left and the right and people are leaving and people are turning, the churches are closing. People don't even go to church anymore. They're turning them into museums because people don't want to even come because they're not getting the word there. They're getting some social gospel, and the people can get that at home if they get it at all. But Lord, this bride, she's standing on the word of God. She's totally covered in the armor of God. And we're fighting this battle knowing that it's not natural, but it's supernatural. And that we'll stand when everything else crumbles around us, we'll still stand.
Amen.
When everybody gives up and throws in the towel, we'll hold up that blood-stained banner knowing that, Lord, you are the one who paid that price to give us that opportunity to do so. I ask you to help us to stand strong. Help us to learn obedience by the things that we suffer. And Lord, as we learn obedience, it helps us to grow into the sons and daughters that we need to be in this hour that we're living in. For this world is gone. But this bride, she's more sure now than ever before. She knows what it is. And Lord, as we take this word and the shield and the sword and this helmet and breastplate and guard our feet and shun about, Lord, we ask you to just help us. Give us what else we need to finish this journey. And if we have all those tools, Lord, we'll make it. Because Satan can't even get to us because you're between us and him. Continue to remember those that are sick, Lord. Touch them. Thank you for how you've blessed us in so many ways. Be with your bride around the world as we stand for this truth in this dying generation. Thank you for everything, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Amen. Standing on the promises. Don't forget, tonight we will be back in service for Bible study. Standing on the Promises, page 31. God wants you to stand. Stand strong. Amen. It's in the key of A. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. For I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, I'm standing.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. For I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Oh,